The Life of Mary Southern, the human story of a woman who, in a restless, changing world, seeks peace, happiness, and security for herself and for her children. And now, The Life of Mary Southern. Mary, summoning Dr. John Benson to Craig's Falls, only because she wants him to help Fran Garfield, did not realize how her call might be interpreted by the doctor who loves her and has asked her to marry him. Nor did she know how her call would affect David Drake, who has seen her in an hour of need, turned to another man. Though John Benson feared that Mary had called him for professional reasons only, he was nonetheless disappointed to learn the truth on his arrival. For he believes that he is essential to the welfare and happiness of Mary Southern. Having finished their luncheon, Dr. John Benson awaits the hour of his consultation with the factory doctor on the case of Fran Garfield. He sits in the living room of the boarding house with Mary.
Oh, John, it's grand to hear all the news of Sanders again. Daddy Stratford, Phyllis, and Danny.
Yeah, they all say they love Mary. They miss you terribly.
No more than I miss them.
You mean that?
Of course I do. Why wouldn't I miss them?
Seems to me I've heard something about action speaking louder than words, Mary.
John, you're always so literal about everything.
Can't very well help myself.
No, you've always been that way.
You've never seemed to mind.
Of course I don't mind. And I do miss everyone in Sanders very much. Tell me more about Phyllis, John.
Oh, Phyllis? She's coming along and, well, I'd say in good shape. She's walking a little now, you know?
Yes.
With crutches, of course, but walking nonetheless. Taking a little time to get used to the idea after all those months in a wheelchair, but unless I miss my guess, about the time she really gets used to the crutches, she'll be able to get along without them.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never gotten used to the idea of Phyllis being an invalid. You should be very proud of yourself, John. You made her well.
Well, I did what I could. Her determination, her will to walk again did the rest. Mary, I wonder if you'd tell me something, quite frankly.
Well, now that all depends.
Will you tell me more about Craig's Falls? Specifically, how you liked it here. What you think of it as a place to live, bring up your children.
Don't you know?
I know how you felt the last time I saw you.
I haven't changed, John, not a bit. I'm coming to feel that this is my home, where I belong.
Funny.
I don't think so. It's a friendly place, John. A worthwhile place with fine, worthwhile people.
Like your friend David.
Please, let's not talk about David. I know you two don't get along, but I like him. He's helped me and he's a very dear friend. I can't explain why I feel as I do about Craig's Falls, John. I do know it's where I want to live and where I want Susan and Jimmy to live. I have a good job. At least I like it. Mr. Barker's kind and considerate and, well, there's nothing more to be said.
Well, I suppose you know best, Mary. You should, certainly. But I did hope when you called me last night it might be for another reason.
I'm sorry I led you to think there was anything behind it.
Well, you didn't. You didn't at all. It was my own fault.
It's not like you to jump at conclusions, John.
Oh, I know it isn't, but... Well, I've been hoping you might change your mind about this city. About some other things as well. You can't blame me for clutching at straws. I thought when I heard your voice you were calling to say that you decided to move back to Sanders. That you wanted me to come and help you.
You should have let me explain.
Well, as I said, I was clutching at straws. I wanted to jump at conclusions. I was mistaken. Not that I'm sorry you called. I'm glad to be here, but I did hope it was for the other reason. I'll never give up hope, man. Hey, tell me.
Yes, John.
This Garfield girl, What do you know about her?
Oh, she's quite pitiful, really. She and her brother.
Yeah, but who are they?
Oh, two. Nobody's son. They're very sweet and quite desperate, nobody's.
Mm.
They need help, the kind of help you can give them. The kind that David and I have tried to give them. They're orphans, very poor, and, well, your heart will just go out to them.
Not a very cheerful picture, I'd say.
Not cheerful at all. I know you're asking, John. I'm sure you can help, Fred.
Well, I hope so. I imagine there are a lot of boys and girls like the Garfields in Craig's Falls, aren't there?
Entirely too many as there are in any city. Children have never had a chance. Never will unless someone takes them in hand. Improperly fed, inadequately clothed. I sometimes wonder how they live.
There's no place where they can go, is there?
No place where they can go?
Well, I mean, a girl like Fran Garfield, say, takes sick. Where does she go? What does she do about it? Fran, of course, had the factory doctor, but what if she hadn't?
I really don't know, John.
We've done some fine work with our clinic in Sanders, you know. Helped a lot of people like the Garfield.
I know you have.
As far as I can determine, there's nothing comparable to that in Craig's Falls. It's a much larger city. Wonder why no one's ever done anything about it. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Father Brady about it when I was here before. He agreed that there was a crying need for such an institution here. When you multiply the Garfield case by a few hundred or a few thousand others...
It's funny to hear you talk this way, John.
Well, not at all.
But it is. Really, you've changed.
Oh, now, man.
Talking about people as individuals and human beings instead of as so many cases, sympathizing with their misfortunes, looking at them through something besides microscopes and stethoscopes and...
You don't look at a patient through a stethoscope.
Well, all right. But what has your experience in the Sanders Clinic done to you? Aren't you a hard-boiled, matter-of-fact physician any longer? Is this new, John Benson?
Well, I don't think it's funny, Mary. You know, I started the Sanders Clinic because I was interested in helping people, not only as cases, as you say, but as people as well.
And now you're wondering about the public welfare of Craig's Falls.
Well, I don't see why you're questioning me.
I'm not. I'm merely trying to find out why you're interested.
Do you really want me to tell you?
Yes, I do.
I hadn't meant to, Mary. I wanted to wait until I talked to some other people. You have a way of making me tell things in spite of myself. When I talked with Father Brady last time I was here, we discussed very tentatively, of course, the possibility of my opening a clinic here, similar to the one in Sanders.
I see.
I didn't know at that time how certain things would work out. Cartwright, my assistant, you know,
mm-hmm.
A little dubious about my leaving, or at least dividing my time, and I was, too.
And now you feel differently about it, John?
I fixed the matter. I could supervise both clinics easy enough. Everything's running smoothly in Sanders. Of course, I want to talk it over with Father Brady and see some of the local doctors, too.
Oh, of course.
And if the indications are favorable, I might do it. I was wondering, what do you think of it?
Of what exactly?
Well, of the idea, generally.
Well, I like the idea of a clinic. It's needed badly.
And what of the idea of my coming to Craig's Falls? What do you think of that, Mary?
Well, coming to Craig's Falls, John, is something I'd much rather you decided for yourself. I don't want my feelings in the matter to influence you either one way or the other.
Will John Benson come to Craig's Falls to live? And is he moved by his love for Mary or by his desire to help those less fortunate than himself? And David, perplexed, unsure, without a place in the world, How would he regard the latest move of the man he knows to be in love with Mary Sutton? Don't fail to listen tomorrow. There'll be a surprising development in the life of Mary Sutton.